You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Richard Boxall.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Kevin Kisner finally gets his hands on the WGC Dell Technologies match play.
After last year, you know, you don't know if you ever get a chance like that again. And to be able to come back and finish it off this year is going to be a lifelong memory.
But it wasn't just about matters in Texas. Stephen Gallagher proved age is just a number as he produced a stunning comeback to win the Hero Indian Open.
When you're 44, you're in the sort of twilight. Yeah, it's a big win for me, a big win. It was good to finish it out the way I did. Three under the last four is a great way to finish it out, and I'm chuffed.
So a bumper edition of the Race to Dubai show to come as we get all the reaction from both tournaments, and we'll also take an early look at the first major of the year, the Masters at Augusta. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and I'm pleased to say that I'm joined by former European Tour winner Richard Boxall. Boxy, the last time that you were on the show, or was it the time before that, you were talking about the John Wick trilogy.
I knew you'd bring that up.
In your guise as the new Barry Norman, what's been on the playlist recently in your film watching?
Not a great deal, actually. I'm still trying to get over the John Wick one, really, to be quite honest. But it's
obviously films that, for a family audience, not maybe films that you might watch yourself later.
No, no, please, nothing like that. But one of my favourites, which is a word you don't like to use in golf, it's Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, really?
Well, I like, there's a little bit of revenge and, you know, that sort of stuff. What are you going to talk? You're going to talk something to do with a pro golfer?
Revenge-fueled films.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Lethal Weapon, Die Hard, those sort of things.
Violent films as well, really. The voice of Peter Finch as well. Peter, a golf coach and journalist and YouTuber. Pete, how are you? Last time that you were on the show, you were saying you were going off to Greece and Oman. How were your trips? What did you get up to?
Greece was interesting. It was my first comp of the year. First time I played in a comp in a long time. Got the full swing yips, which was fun, and then managed to overcome that.
What level are we looking at here for this competition?
PGA's a Europe event. So decent players, some kind of ex-European Tour players in there and stuff. And yeah, I managed to, after a first round 82,
okay,
I managed to back it up with a 69 and then finish in the middle.
That's all right. Yeah. Is that okay? You take that?
After the first round, oh my God, yeah, I would have wrapped my arms around it and held it close.
And then on to Oman after that?
On to Oman where I was just doing some work, doing some filming. Really enjoyed Oman, actually. Great course over there.
Lovely course, isn't
really
it?
Good, yeah.
Really nice course. I didn't see, we actually said we were going to meet up, but it never happened, did it?
I know, it's one of those things where I said it, but did I really mean it?
No, really. I mean, we just met as well. That's pretty bad news. And I thought he was being genuinely serious.
I would have actually loved to stay around for that whole week and watch the event, but I had to dash off on Wednesday.
Pete texted me and said, do you think Box your mind if I just shoot off a bit earlier?
Do you think he'll notice if I've gone?
And then you did actually text me and said, have you got Pete's number? I said, yeah, I think he just might have missed you.
I think he's at the airport.
Yeah, I think so. We've got all the news from the Indian Open to come. We're going to start with the WGC Dell Technologies match play at Austin Country Club. Beautiful looking golf course. I'm never quite sure about this event. I want it to work, Richard. I want it to, and I sort of like the early rounds. It gets to the final, and it doesn't matter who's in it. I know that Kevin Kisner, Matt Kuchar, not household names really for those outside of golf. Very, very good players, obviously. And Kuchar's looking for his third PGA Tour win of the season, and Kisner was runner-up in the event last year. But whoever it was, it's difficult unless you get a very, very good final match,
well,
isn't it?
I always think for the commentators especially and for the people that are watching at home, you get a lot more out of a stroke play event because you've got shots coming in all the time from all over the place. You know, you've hit a couple of tee shots in the final group. You've got a third and fourth playoff, but, you know, they hit the tee shots and then they're watching them walk up the fairway, really. Okay, there's a few inserts and stuff thrown in like that, but I always think match play, it's fine for the players. The match player, you know, they'll love it because it's just one against one. But I think it's, for me, it's just a little bit slow.
But you need some drama in the play as well, though, don't you? Did we really get it in the final?
Not sure. I think everyone had a little bit of a hangover from Saturday, though. So, like, you had Tiger, Rory, and everyone was really excited about that. And it was, yeah, it was. It's tough, though.
Was that any good?
I think the hype maybe exceeded the match, but then again, at the same time, it was still Tiger and Rory.
Yeah.
So, you know, and because it's one against one, it doesn't, you'd love to see birdies raining in, because it's player against player, then a par to win a hole can still kind of be exciting in that context. But yeah, the Saturday was probably more enjoyable for me than the actual Sunday.
I think sometimes that we all expect these big turnarounds, and I hear some of the commentators talk about momentum and how it shifts. When one player gets it in front, generally they just go on and win, and you don't get these. I mean, they're unusual. That's why we remember them, if someone comes from behind to win.
Yeah, I think I can't actually remember the stat, but
it was
something like 85% or something if you're up after the 10th, yeah. They went on to win. So yeah, the actual turnarounds were not likely. But, you know, I think match play, anytime an event comes on like that, it's good because it's different. Like, you do get a little bit of stroke play haze when you just watch it all the time.
I quite like the group stages. I mean, it's changed over the years, and at least we get a bit of golf over the course of the first 3 days, Boxing.
We do. Would you like to know the format?
Go on, then.
How the whole event runs through. Well, it starts with 64 players initially divided up into 16 groups of four players. They play a round robin. They play Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. And then the groups were decided on world rankings. Winner of each group advanced to the knockout stages of round of 16 players left. Then you go to the quarterfinals, then the semis, then the final. And there is the bonus of a third and fourth playoff. So really, in effect, you've got to win seven games to win this. You've actually only got to beat, hang on 2 seconds, seven people to win.
I'm impressed you know the rules and regs right off the bat there. You don't have to...
No, it's good, recourse to notes. Well, I've been watching it for quite a long time. Oh, is it written down here somewhere? Is it? I don't know that. You've only got to win seven games. So, you know, if you, normally field of 144, 156, you've got to beat 155 or 143 players. Here, for your lovely little prize of certainly nicely over $1 million, you've only got to win seven games. So it actually...
And you can play badly and
you can.
And
you can shoot 74 and win.
And still go through.
You can shoot 74 and win. You can shoot 66 and lose. So, you know, if you look at it like that, if you get a little bit of luck, it should be a lot easier to win than a stroke play event.
We wanted McIlroy and Woods in the final, didn't we, really?
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Should McIlroy have won that one?
Not sure. I don't think he was played up to that point.
He played brilliantly in the group stage, isn't he?
Well, up to that point, he only lost three... Holes.
Yeah.
Do you know? Holes. I missed that game. What was score? What was the medal scoring in that?
I'm not sure. Actually, it wouldn't have been very under par.
It wasn't 6-7 under, was it?
No.
It was more like near a level par. I thought. Yeah.
I mean, that was the key round of 16 clash, wasn't it? I mean, Rory, after Dustin got knocked out of the group stages, DJ, didn't he? I think Justin Thomas went out the group stages. John Rahm went out the group stages. The draw seemed a little lopsided. I mean, Rory was massive favourite going into the last.
He was. Was it 10 or was it 8 we had in the last 16 Europeans? I think it was 10.
I think it was.
He says not knowing, but I have got here in front of me, if I can just, I've borrowed a pair of glasses here from Lost Property. I'm awfully sorry about this, but we did actually have 1, 2, 3. Are you going to class do season?
No.
Aren't you?
Well, he can't play for the European Ryder Cup team.
6, 7.
Imagine Rory Sabatini is going to be playing for us.
Yeah, well, exactly. The Slovakian,
not
indeed.
Not include Grace. Well, we had 9. But if you include Grace and Newstairs, and we had 11.
Well, it includes Rory Sabatini. I mean, that's an incredible story. I don't think it was been mentioned on the pod. He's going to represent Slovakia in the Olympics. Is that the deal, Pete?
Yeah, so he married a...
Rory Sabatini, the South African.
Is he?
Married a Slovakian girl, and he's changed his nationality to Slovakia. So he could, in theory, play for the European Ryder Cup team. But obviously, there's quite a few more players in front of him. No dig to Rory Sabatini, but there's a few other players just ahead of him in the pecking order.
What, for Slovakia?
No, for Europe.
Oh, for
generally.
Europe. I mean, Slovakia, for the Olympics.
In Slovakia, he's probably quite a big player, but not so much in the European Ryder Cup team, I don't believe.
Tiger Woods got the better of Rory McIlroy into the quarterfinals, and Lukas Bjørgaard, I guess, was a massive story, wasn't he? Because he beat Justin Thomas, did he, in the group stages, and... No one really knew that much about him stateside. I mean, we've seen him play over on the European Tour. He's won a couple of events in the last
few years.
He's
won some biggies as well. He won the Alfred Dunhill Links up in Scotland. You know, he's a good player, much improved. He's just outside the top 50 in the world rankings.
Yeah,
53rd.
Yeah, 52 or 53.
52 or 53. Yeah. I'll go 53. You'll go 52.
Oh, well, you know.
But he was around there.
He was.
And now, after this week's performance, that's going to push him inside the top 50 for sure. So he's a massively long hitter.
Huge in here.
Yeah, and he's a nice family man. That, not that necessarily makes you a decent golfer, but he's a nice family man, takes his family around with him, and he's a good sense of humour as well. Not old, I don't think he's 30
he's,
yet.
He's 27.
He?
27, yeah. It's always nice to root for a nice guy, isn't it?
So yeah, he's a good lad, and he's been much improving over the last, I would have said, 2 years for sure.
I think it'll be huge for his confidence as well. I mean, any time you beat Tiger, Like, you know, saying it, you know, like a no. You know, beating Tiger must be quite...
Would have been like beating me, wouldn't it?
You know, I imagine so. Yeah, I mean, the confidence that I would have walked off that course...
Massive.
...that we'd played at, I don't know, Flixton, wherever, would have been absolutely huge. But, yeah, for him, it must be massive. Because I think everyone has, for a long time, said he's going to be one of Europe's best players, and maybe this is just the start of that.
Do players still fold under that pressure of playing with Tiger Woods, do you think? Would he have
not
been
as much,
much more nervous than ever before, or has it been dampened a little bit?
Well, I think if he's your boyhood hero, which I think he was for Lucas Bjerregaard, I think you'd have a massive amount of respect for that. It wouldn't be quite like playing him 15 years ago, or 10 years ago, not quite the same. But it still would have been a thrill.
I mean, Rory talked about the fact that he gets to play match play against Tiger Woods.
I think it's down to the mentality as well, though. So, like, if, you know, ever came to the odd situation where, you know, most of the best players in the world stopped playing and I could play Tiger Woods, in my head, because I'm not a very good professional golfer, I'd be probably overawed by it. But for someone like Lucas, I mean, you heard him in the interview beforehand. He was like, a massive occasion, really looking forward to it, in a sense that he couldn't wait to play him, couldn't wait to actually compete and beat him. Because that's the thing, he's like playing his hero. That's the story, like to actually beat your hero, that'd be amazing.
Well, afterwards, the Dane gave this reaction.
You know, just to get the chance to play against him was pretty incredible. And he was really nice out there. It was a great match. We played pretty well, both of us, made a few birdies. And, you know, it wasn't easy out there with the wind. So it was a great match. And unfortunately, I had to end this way, but I'm happy to be through.
Tell us about the thought process when you're going around there playing against Tiger Woods. The majority of the crowd was supporting you, but there was support for you. What was it like out there?
Yeah, it was loud. It was like nothing I've ever experienced before. And I've played with a lot of good players, but nothing can compare to that. You know, a lot of yelling, a lot of stuff going on all the time. And there was a good bit of support for me as well, so that was nice. But, you know, you can see that he's not just my idol. There's a lot of other people that think that way.
Five birdies and a massive eagle on the 16th for Bjerregaard. Woods had an opportunity, did he, on the last? I mean, he does tend to miss a few these days, Boxy, doesn't he?
Yes, he did. He missed from 4 feet on the last, but, you know, he's only human. I was actually standing. I was doing the on-course commentary in the Ryder Cup, you know, when he played Molinari, the miracle in Medina. You remember that? I'm sure you do. And that was, I was standing right on the edge of that green when he missed that short putt. And he, for the first, he had tears in his eyes, let me tell you, when he missed that putt, and then scooped up the marker of Molinari, which Molinari was no tap in, let me tell you. But must have been quite a relief for Molinari. But, you know, he is a human. We all miss, you know, every putt straight. If you don't start it on the right line, it's not going to go in, is it?
Just to rattle through the other quarterfinal results, Matt Kuchar got the better of Sergio Garcia. We're going to talk about that in just a sec. Two up, Kevin Kisner defeated Louis Oosthuizen 2-1. And Francesco Molinari was rolling on. He hammered Kevin Na 6-5. Garcia-Kuchar match in the quarterfinal. A controversial moment here. Garcia missed the short putt at the 7th.
7 foot,
wasn't it? And Kuchar not officially conceded the shot of a few inches. It happened very quickly, didn't it? Because Garcia looked to just tap it in. The ball stayed out, counts as a shot, loses the hole. Lot of fallout about it. Where do you stand? You know, should it have been conceded? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, let's put it this way. That is the rule.
Yeah, because Kuchar hasn't conceded it.
Yeah, but it's sportsmanship. You know, it's down to the player.
But can Kuchar do anything about it?
Yes, I would have thought he could go to the referee and go, listen, I'm forget the rule. That doesn't matter. I gave him that.
I think it was more the fact that he actually called the rules official over. So after the hole, he actually said to Sergio, as far as my reading of it, is that he said to Sergio, listen, I saw you miss that putt. I didn't give you that putt. But rather than just saying, you know, so in future, just be aware of that. And that's all it would have been. So he said, but basically what he said was, I'm not sure about it, so what I'm going to do is call the rules official over. Now, most pro golfers know the rules, that when the rule official came over, he said, well, yeah, then you've won that hole.
You're gone then. There's no getting out of it.
So basically, he could have done something then before he got the rules official over. He could have said, yes, I did concede.
No, that's all right.
In the nicest possible way, Kuchar could say, you know, I was just making sure I was following the rules. I didn't want to do anything wrong. If you look at it another way, he called the rules official over, so he would be guaranteed to win the hole.
It's two inches from the hole, okay? Yeah. If the rule official came over, he could have said, I said, that's good. He said, but you obviously didn't hear me.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
In some ways, I don't mind that. If you would call the rules official, I would say, listen, Sergio, I didn't give you that putt. You missed it.
You want to be careful next time.
Yeah. And even if they'd gone the other way, I said, listen, I'm claiming that hole because I didn't give it you and you missed it. that would have been fine. But it's more the fact that he says, I'll call the rules official over to make sure I didn't make any mistakes, and then said, oh, you know, can I give him the hole? No, the rules are there. That didn't really wash too well with me. But then, having said that, it was Sergio's mistake. And the way Sergio reacted to it was, well, he's had a fun time this year, hasn't he, reacting to certain situations? So
he has, yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit of Twitter reaction. Lee Westwood suggests, look, no one comes out of a winner from this incident. Sergio, Cooch, all the rules, once again, puts him in brackets. If Cooch says it's good, after all not, just makes golf look stupid and grabs the headlines, which we don't need.
Well, no, hang on, let's put it, would you have claimed that? I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't, no.
No chance.
No, I would have said, if it had actually bothered me, I would have said, listen, just be careful in future because I didn't actually give the putt.
But you would have given.
But like, yeah, of course, yeah. Like, let's just,
but you
let's
know
just
what?
Carry
a lot of players don't even say that's good. A lot of players would, if he knocks it that far, just turn their back and walk off.
It's a given.
It is a given.
Listen, this is what Garcia said. It's quite simple. I screwed up. I tapped it in before he said anything. The only issue is Cooch had options. The PGA Tour tweeted, Matt Kuchar did not have a chance to concede Sergio Garcia's second putt. Therefore, Garcia lost the hole. Kuchar told the official he wanted to give Garcia the putt, but that cannot be done retroactively.
I think for once, the rules, to be fair, in this case, are clear. Sergio did lose the hole.
Yeah.
But that was
spirit
only,
of the game and
that
golf
was only a
golf.
Case when he called the rules official over. It was as simple as that. Yeah.
Semi-finals.
Yeah.
Kevin Kisner beat Francesco Molinari 1-up. Lucas Biergaard, his great run came to an end. He went down to Matt Kuchar, also 1-up. A word on Molinari, gentlemen. 5 out of 5 in the Ryder Cup and then another 5 match play wins before he succumbs in the semis. That's 10 on the spin. I mean, there was a little video of him and someone was trying to check his pulse. I don't know if you saw this on the European Tour.
Yeah,
Twitter.
That,
because
yeah.
he's just fantastic in these situations.
He is. And when he won 6, who did he beat 6 and 5? Was that the last 16?
Kevin Na. It was, yeah.
I thought, when I saw that, I thought, he's going to cruise this because he's like that. I've mentioned it before, the little pro shot golf. It's a game before you were around, Pete, but it's an Arnold Palmer game with a shaft.
What's
of a
it
club.
Called again?
It's called pro shot golf.
Yeah.
It's not promoting it at all because they don't make it anymore, but it was Arnold Palmer's.
And how does it work?
Well, what it is, it's a golf club. It's got a grip on the end. It's got a hook around the back of it, a little hole, and you put your finger in there. Bloke on the end swings it backwards and forwards. Very repetitive, which is a little bit like Molinari's swing, which is what I think Molinari's like.
Does Molinari get the credit? You know, going into this, Rory's the favourite, Justin Thomas, second favourite, Dustin Johnson is one of the favourites, and Molinari's, you know, won on the PGA Tour this year, won the Race to Dubai, won the Open. Does he ever go into a big event as one of the 3 or 4 top in the betting market?
He does now. Yeah, 100%. After last year, you can't win the Open and still fly under the radar. And I think just the way that he's playing, I mean, he had 6 bogeys when he was playing Kisner, and everyone kind of lost their head about it. That's kind of shows the level he's at now. If you can make 6 bogeys and people have like a little panic. But he, like that thing about checking his pulse, it is weird because after that match, 6 bogeys, no one expected it. Everyone expected him to beat Kisner. And then he came out against Lucas in the kind of consolation match and then just carried on playing like he had been. It's like he was literally reset. Like someone just pushed the button on the back of his head and he went back to his normal mode.
Yeah, pro golf again.
Pro shot golf. That's 3 times I've got that in now.
Boxy,
yes.
Tell me about the final. Was it a worthy win from Kevin Kisner?
Yeah, any win's a worthy win. The thing about 18 holes is it's a sprint, isn't it? Again, you can shoot level par 2 over.
Do we get the
win.
Right winner in these tournaments? I mean, we've got, I think that's the 9th All-American final. We've had some, I mean, when it was pure match play from the start, no groups, we had some old winners, didn't we? Some big price winners.
Yeah, you do get that because it's match play, you know, and an 8 doesn't count. It does, you lose one hole, but you don't lose 4 shots on the field. So, yes, you are, in my view, always 9 times out of 10 going to get a surprise winner. I mean, Kisner obviously likes the course. He was runner-up last year, but got completely hammered 7 and 6 in the final. But, you know, you do get some...
But that's good. That's good match play for him if you're second 1 year. And
yeah, absolutely. He's obviously a good match player. Absolutely. I mean, he came in, I think he was like 56th seed, I think, something like that.
I mean, Otegi's a good match player as well. He's another one.
Otegi?
Adrian Otegi.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't play this week, but he's another good match player.
He played in India, but anyway, Pete, you were saying.
Played well, actually.
And it's one of those things, it's so hard. You're never going to be able to manage to get that all-star final unless everything falls into play. Yeah. So it's just the nature of the event. And yes, it could have been more exciting. Yes, there could have been some bigger names in there. But, you know, I don't think Kisner's bothered about that, is he? He's he's winning it, and, you know, that's going to set him up for the rest of the season and, yeah, put him in good form.
I don't know how close he was to the US Ryder Cup team last year, but Lee Westwood made the point, you know, a player who can keep it in play, not massive, but might have been suited to Le Golf National.
Yeah, I don't think he would have made that much of a difference overall.
No.
Not with the way that the Europeans played.
Not the way the course was set up as well.
No. But I'm saying, you know, I know we're going back a long time here, but from an American point of view, when you start to look forward and you think what type of golf courses the Europeans are going to be setting up in the future, you maybe start to turn to those players who will, you know, rather than just the typical American player, you maybe got to think outside the box a little bit. I don't know why I'm giving the big up to the Americans here.
I don't know. It'd be pretty ballsy to actually put him in that team.
Because
their captain's picks was Mickelson, Woods, DeChambeau and Finau. And who are you actually going to drop out of those?
One other point of order regarding the match play. I saw, I think this was on the Tuesday, might have been the Monday, Phil Mickelson talking to Li Hao Tong and taking the mickey out of his hat. Did you see this on the range?
I didn't.
And I thought to myself, if the one person that you're never going to get inside, he said, it's Li Hao Tong.
Yeah.
Because he's an interesting character.
If there's one person who probably isn't in the best position to talk about fashion sense, it's going to be Phil Mickelson anyway.
We can hear from the champion, Kevin Kisner.
You know, after last year, you know, you don't know if you ever get a chance like that again. And to be able to come back and finish it off this year is going to be a lifelong memory.
It's a long journey, isn't there? Any highlights out there you could think about where you're thinking, well, I'm in this, I've got a chance, it's going to happen?
You know, losing my first match was not part of the plan for sure. And you're really behind the eight ball if you lose that first match. And to come back and grind it out and beat Poulter in that playoff was probably the springboard towards a big event.
And to take on Matt today, you're probably both tired, but adrenaline is keeping you going. Comes to the 16th, you've got a question mark of a big putt that you make. How proud are you of that moment?
Well, that's what you dream about as a kid, having a chance to win. And I've had my fair share of those putts, and I've missed my fair share, and I've made a couple. So to put an exclamation point on my golf career with that putt is going to be a lifelong memory.
Six American WGC winner in a row. Does it mean anything?
Does it mean anything? Yeah. No, not really, no. It means
They've won the last six.
It means they've won the last six and nobody from around the world has won one.
Six different ones. I mean, we give the big one about, you know, European Tour.
Well, they won
members.
Six in Europe.
Well, they've won...
Six Americans have won on the European Tour.
What, this year?
This year.
Name them.
Do-do-do-do, Dustin Johnson.
Is one.
Bryson DeChambeau.
Is two.
David Lipsky.
Yes, in South Africa. Good
Correct.
Knowledge.
I was there. Is three.
Yeah. Have to hurry.
Yeah, hang on.
Phone a friend.
Quickly, 50-50. Kitty Armour is another one.
Yeah, but the producer's telling you that.
So, it doesn't matter. He's a friend of mine. He was a cheeky young boy earlier, but now he's a friend of mine.
Has he grown?
And the other two
I know we've
Matt,
been here
please.
A long time, but his age hasn't changed.
And he doesn't know the other two. So, there are six.
Excellent, well done.
You didn't know that, did
no,
you?
No, I didn't.
They won six out of the first 12.
Kevin Kisner was beaten in his first group match by Ian Poulter. First time that someone has lost their first match and gone on to win. Just thought I'd put that out there.
And you know, I tell you something, Pete. He is a hit at parties. He's the kind of bloke I get at a cocktail party, you know that.
Yeah.
He's the one that
Didn't
you
we
go,
do this last time?
Yeah, but you're the one that you go, excuse me, oh, I'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, he'd be the one who kind of singles you out as well.
Yeah.
Like you can't walk away from because there's no one else.
It's a clean, clear table at 14 paces, let me tell you.
Less of me at parties. Let's get the top 10, or are you going to
well,
do sort
I'm
of quarterfinals
top...
in or last 16 in? How are you going to
no,
do it?
No, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the semi-finals. Okay, funny enough, there was two of those. Kuchar and Bjerregaard. Bjerregaard, I thought, was going to beat Kuchar, I must say, but he didn't. So Kuchar made his way through. Then you go to the other side, and Molinari's going to meet Kisner. And the two I wanted in the final were Bjerregaard and Molinari, obviously being a European, but it went completely the other way. It was Kuchar and Kisner. And Kisner came out the winner 3-2 in the end.
Incidentally, four American winners on the European Tour
six.
This season. No, four different Americans winning six tournaments.
So who do you think the four... So Dustin Johnson won two, did he?
And so did...
DeChambeau.
Your friend of mine, who won in Oman.
Kurt Kitayama has won two, you're
yeah,
right, yeah.
Because he won out in, I want to say
Mauritius. It was Mauritius, 20 under. So, but it's still six American wins.
It is. Time to turn our attention to the other event on the European Tour this week, the Hero Indian Open. And a win for Scotland's Stephen Gallagher, who produced a stunning comeback to claim the title by one shot. 9 under, beat Japan's Masahiro Kawamura, who was 8 under, and Jorge Campillo, who was a shot further behind, when he finished on 7 under, although, according to the television pictures at the time...
It was eight.
I mean, if you're a player and you're looking at a leaderboard around, you know, around the fairways, and you see someone's got to eight, I mean, you're going to cut your cloth accordingly, aren't you? You tack the final few holes.
I think it depends on what kind of player you are for a start. Like, some players don't even look at the scoreboard.
True.
And to be honest, around that course, I won't be taking my eyes off that course anyway to look anywhere else.
Very different.
Very tight, isn't it?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Well, he was on that score for a while. Because
he was
Mother's
Day
yesterday, and I was popping in and out of the kitchen, and the TV was on, quite silent, because we had other guests there as well. But it was on, and that score of 8-under was around for a while.
Would it affect any of the chasers at the time? Because he was in, and it was a tough course. Wind started to get up.
No,
I mean,
because
they changed it after about 20 minutes.
Nine under was the winning score, so it's a tough course. You know, any course you're under double figures in, that is a tough course. So because you're almost moving along at level 70s, aren't you? It's just one under level 70s. So it's a hard course. There was a bit of breeze up. Don't think it would change anybody's mind. It would. What would happen is you'd be out on the course and you go, oh, he's gone back to minus 7. That's a help.
I mean, there were some incredible numbers on the last day. I don't know if you saw Julian Surrey's quadruple, Pete, at the 14th, where,
yeah.
I mean, it was a great second shot on a par 4, and then it just bounces off the green, and then he blasts it over, and then he duffs the next one. I mean, first of it, I thought he's unlucky, and then his head went a bit.
Yeah, it just compiled. It just kind of mounted up, and like I said, with a course like that, even those simple shots are quite hard. And then if you are getting nervous, if you are getting twitchy, and then it's just finishing off with a 3-putt. That is like...
All disasters on the golf course end with 3 movements on the dance floor. It's always the way.
It's just all in one hole.
But I think he went from certainly 2 ahead. He might have even been 3 ahead at one stage to 2 behind. And it was incredible change around. And there were so many players that had opportunities. Christian Bezuidenhout, I think, missed a short one, didn't he, on 17 and then didn't bogey 18, which was a tough par 5. Campillo, who you tip up every single week.
Yeah.
I mean, we say he didn't really get to 8, but he looked like he did. But even at 7, you thought he might have a chance.
Well, especially with the wind getting up, and you've got, you know, those last 5 holes, you've got, was it the 14th? Is the hardest hole on the European Tour all season last year. You've got 16, 17 and 18. It's
all
a nasty
tough
finish. I looked at that second shot into 17. I don't know how the club members finish a monthly medal there.
They don't.
They don't, do they?
16 all comps.
Sorry?
There's 16 holes, all the comps. Just walk in after that.
Now, I don't know you well enough, Peter, so I'm not sure.
Was that a bit too deadpan? Sorry.
Face was a bit too straight there, so I'm not... I thought...
It's the Botox.
I went all of a sudden... That's what I was going to say. But I suddenly went, oh, my God, is he telling the truth?
Yeah, that might be right.
I did, yeah. So it isn't 16 holes, is it?
No,
I mean,
just for anyone listening, please don't retell that to any of your golfing friends. Oh, you'll never guess what they do.
Oh, Peter, you know, on that podcast, right, there's only 16 holes. No, excellent. That's good. You threw me there.
Give a word to Stephen how good Gallagher's finish was then, because...
Oh,
birdie,
three birdies in the last 4 holes. Fantastic for Gallagher. And, strong finish. Birdie 17 and 18. Great 7-iron he hit into 17.
And he took an 8 on the par 4 7th.
Yeah. A little more time to recover from that.
But
that'll still do your head
in.
It's not easy. It's not easy. Yeah. But as he said, he stood on the next tee and he thought, actually, do you know what? I'm still only 5 behind here. I had a chat with Steve out in Qatar. It was nice.
Are you going to take some credit for his win here?
No. Good.
Go on.
No, it was Coulthard and myself were going up and down the range, and I think it was on the Tuesday, I think. And Gallagher, because it's Gallagher, not Gallagher.
Gallagher.
Was hitting some balls on the range, and his son was there, Jack, and we were just having a laugh and a joke, me, Coulthard, and we set up for about
half
an hour.
And Jack's on his back, isn't he, at the minute?
Correct and right, you're through to the next round. And we were just having a laugh about old days, because Steve's been around a long time now, and, you know, Coulthard and I... obviously been around a long time. But he was striking the ball very nicely, hitting the ball well, and that's why I was very pleased to see him win, because he's had a bad run of miscuts.
Suits his game as well, that course. I mean, low ball flighty and windy conditions, and not very long hitter, so...
Tight. It would probably not suit your game, Dan.
I haven't got a game, as you know.
That's what I mean.
Anyone should have done better? We mentioned Surrey, who had that disastrous 8, didn't make a birdie. On the back 9, we saw Bezuidenhout get close.
I think the Indian was unlucky, Chikarangapal.
Really? 74?
He was doing better than that. He was up on the leaderboard.
What? I mean, can you explain to
me?
Can you explain to me, any of you two, why there was such a wild swing in last day scores? Because there weren't all poor scores.
No, I tell you what,
Gallagher 1-under. Kalmura 1-over, 5-under Campillo, and they're all finishing roughly within the same sort of hour here. Bezuidenhout 4-under, Surrey 5-over. I mean, you know, if conditions get bad, they all sort of shift north.
No, I'll tell you what it is. If your game is slightly off, right? When the course is not as tight as that, you can get away with it. You can recover. But because that course is so tight, you know, and anything offline is penalised straight away. And that's why. When you're playing well, like Campillo, you're knocking it down the middle, you can shoot your five unders. If you're slightly offline, like Suri did, quadruple bogey at the 14th, it's when you shoot your four and five over pars.
We mentioned Gallagher not playing particularly well. In golf, and you two will know this, I won't. I mean, can it just click one week? Is it just a bit of, you know, you go to a course where it just helps you mentally? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, golf's hard. Like, there's no, you know, no secrets in that. There's nothing to stop one of these players, the very good players in the world, to shoot a five under on the last day. And it's probably quite fine margins to that five over. You know, it only takes that one disastrous hole. And for someone, you know, who's been around for so long, as Gallagher has, I mean, it's just, you know, anything that clicks on that day, if he gets a feeling that week, if he's striking it well, you know, that month, anyone can win. That's what's so good about the European Tour and the PGA Tour. There's so many players who can win each week. The depth and the strength on each tour now is fantastic.
Last top 10 and, July, sorry, boxing in the Scottish, yeah, Open, and four missed cuts coming into this week.
Yeah, but it's the kind of thing, as Pete was saying, you know, it actually, if you're not having a good season, it only takes one shot to turn it round.
And maybe the chat on the range to Richard Boxall Esquire.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but
But
I'll have a stroll up and down the range if anybody wants to chat.
Have you been in touch with Steve? Are you getting a percentage of that out of the win?
No. Well, I asked Steve. Yeah. No, I will be mentioning it to him. Sort of, it must be our
$5,000 or something like that.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
This is from Matt Wallace, who says, great win for at Stevie Golf and at Jack G01, which is Gallagher and his boy. He said, last year, Stevie pushed me on to win in India whilst playing together in the final group. This year, he wins it himself. Legend and great champion. Just alluding to the fact that he played well there last year. Let's hear from the new champion, who admitted the key to his success was speaking to Richard Boxall. Oh no, was focusing on keeping within touching distance of the leaders, even when things weren't going exactly to plan.
I knew I was only five back on the eighth tee. I thought, just hang in there. And then when I birdied 15, I seen that Julian Suri had came back from the top, and I thought I was one behind. And then when I got to 16th green, they changed it, so I was tied for the lead. And just tried to finish as strong as I could, up 17, 18, give myself two chances to finish with. And I'd done that, and thankfully it was enough.
Seventh hole would have been enough for a lot of golfers just to resign themselves to that one of these days, but you stayed in there.
Yeah, I was just trying to slide it off the bunker, and I pulled it. Just one of these things. It was up against the out-of-bounds fence. I had nowhere to go but back to the tee, and then I hooked my next one and then lost that. But I was pretty calm after that hole. I was, you know, there's nothing really much you can do. I went for my shot and hit it, and it was just two poor shots. But to see me, I was only five back, gave me a wee bit of encouragement, and then I played eight lovely and knocked a three-wood on the green at nine, and sort of that kept me going.
And of course, having your son on the bag, I mean, it must have been a pretty special moment. How has he got a good cut of the winnings?
He's got 10% of it, yeah. And I don't even know where he is. He's probably watching the football. But yeah. But no, he was cool. It was great to have him in the bag, and Mother's Day as well makes it even more special.
What does this win mean to you?
When you're 44, you're in the sort of twilight. It was, yeah, it's a big win for me, a big win. It was good to finish it out the way I did, you know. Three under the last four is a great way to finish it out, and I'm chuffed.
Fourth title for Stephen Gallagher. Can you name the other three?
I can, yes. Two in Dubai, yes, and the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship.
Well done. So his boy gets 10%. Are you going to get sort of 10%, 1%?
I'll have a little chat with Steve. I've got a feeling I know what his answer will be.
Might get a Bacardi and Coke out of it.
No, I think his second word will be off. You've got to work it out from there, yeah.
Let's get a little bit more reaction from the top of the leaderboard. And back in third was the Spaniard, Jorge Campillo, who was another who found the going hard in the windy conditions on the final day.
It was tough, very windy out there. It was a great round. You know, I was coming from behind, but I have my chances, you know. I was close again.
Last year you had an incredible season. I think more top tens than anybody on the European Tour. You've already had three top fives in four tournaments. What does it mean for you this week?
Well, I have way too many top fives without a win. That's what I think, no? But, you know, I got to be patient, I guess. Last year I have a six top five, couple second finishes, and this year I have a couple second finishes already and maybe another top five up top three here. So it's just got to be patient, I guess, and I'm waiting for a big one to win, hopefully.
We need the top 10 from the Hero Indian Open, Mr. Richard Boxall.
Okay, I'll give you the top 10, but
not the top four. Just
no, there's a massive, not like the
match play.
The match play, but there was a big tie at four under par on 10th. There was eight players in all on -4, and so I'll give you their names: Chika Rangappa, from India was one of them. Kulhonen was also at that score. Kim Dubuisson, Rashid Khan, Jarin Todd, Adrian Otegi, another good week for him, and Keith Horn.
Are you contractually obliged to mention these Spanish players?
Yes, I'm meeting both of them at the underneath the clock at Waterloo in about an hour and a half.
Excellent.
And then tied 6th to 9th was Nacho Elvira, George Kutsia, Eric Van Rooyen and Callum Shinquin. Six over last day for Callum Shinquin. Not particularly good for him that day. Poseidon Hote and Julian Suri, who led for the most of the way, were tied 4th. Third was Jorge Campillo. Another good finish for him. And Kawamura was in second on his own, 8 under par. But 9 under par was the winner, the Scot, Stephen Gallagher.
Last week's predictions. We all got 2 picks. One has to be outside top 50 of the final 2018 Race to Dubai standings, apart from the match play, because there wasn't too many, obviously. So WGC, I went for Alex Noren, who didn't get out of the group stage. And as far as our competition is concerned, that means -5, akin to missing the cut. Paul Casey got to the round of 16, so that was 0 points. So -5 for the presenter. GBJ, Gordon Brown Jr., went for Matt Kuchar, Gordy.
Did he?
Yeah, he couldn't read the top 10 in the world out, but he could certainly tip well. He gets 20 points for that. Justin Rose, round of 16, 0 points. And Matt Cooper, and I've got to say, Matt gave a massive mention to Lucas Bjerregaard, but did not tip him up.
Really?
No, he mentioned, he said, he thinks Lucas might go well. But he went for John Rahm, who crashed out the group stage, as did Kiradek Apibanrat, so -10 for the guest. And when it came to the Indian Open, because I had Richard Boxall on the mind, I went for Jorge Campillo and Promi Wasat, who was tied 50th, but Jorge obviously was third, 20 points. GBJ went for Soren Kjeldsen and missed the cut. Brandon Stone missed the cut, that's -10. And Matt Cooper went for Kalle Samuja, who had a hole in one, finished 18th.
Yeah, it was 2 holes in ones, I think, last week.
And also David Horsey, who was tied 77, so the 5 points there. Presenters on 120, co-presenters up to 50, guests are down to 5. In the Fantasy Race to Dubai game, you got your team yet, Boxy?
Not yet, I haven't.
Pete, did we establish that you were going to get one, or you haven't, or you do?
Who, me or Peter?
Peter.
I think we established that I was going to get one, but it was quite an open-ended commitment, i.e. it's not been quite fulfilled.
I say the same every week when I'm on. I've not got one yet. I'm going to do one for the Masters. So okay. I'm going to remind you.
Get one done for the Masters.
Yeah, okay. And then we'll do a competition between three of us, 50 quid in, winner takes all.
£50?
Oh, wow.
You up for that, Boxy?
Is that including,
from the Masters onwards?
VAT or not? What, I mean,
there's no VAT in competitions.
I have no idea. I don't bet, do I? So go on.
Don't win.
So what have I got to get?
You've got to get your team. What I'm going to do, europeantour.com, you've got to register your team. I'm going to send you both the link for the Masters for next week, and I will hassle you to get your team in, and then we'll take it
from there. Can I include Reading in my Fantasy Race Dubai?
No.
Along with Liverpool and Arsenal.
No, you can't. At the moment, Stephen Swan tops the global leaderboard, while Mogens Fries scored the most points from the match play. So well done to those two. I think there are prizes, certainly in the main game, up for grabs. So do register if you haven't already. Now then, the top 10 of the Race to Dubai, no updated standings at time of recording, which is unusual for the boys that do these things. I did see them in the canteen earlier, but obviously they're not done it yet. But that will come through a little bit later on the website. In other news, Graham McDowell's 4-year wait for a win is over after the Northern Irishman won on the PGA Tour at the Corrales Punta Cana Resort and Club Championship in the Dominican Republic. The former US Open champion shot a final round 69 to finish 18 under, one stroke ahead of Canada's Mackenzie Hughes and American Chris Stroud. I think he was he one behind going to the 17th as a two-shot swing?
I saw
a little bit of it.
Good win, that, though.
Fantastic win.
Yeah, he's been struggling a bit, McDowell.
But he's been plugging away, hasn't he? He's you know, I'm guessing he could almost, you know, he doesn't really have to play anymore, money-wise.
No,
he's got lots of different interests, hasn't he?
Yeah.
But I applaud him massively. It's a very good win.
It is a big win. I thought he was coming to the end. I thought any time now you'll hear he's really going to not play that much at all. But that'll kick him on. That'll keep him playing.
He does not get into the Open Championship because of that win, should he? If you went on the PGA Tour in the calendar year,
should he not get in? No, I think you've got your qualifying events. You know what your qualifying events are, and that's it.
Yeah, I think obviously the strength of the field in that event's not going to be at its strongest as well. But if he's
he's going to play US Open because he's still got an exemption there.
No, I think
it's 10 years. 2010 at Pebble Beach, and he's back at Pebble, isn't he? So.
He's obviously got some kind of form now, so you'd expect him to be able to put a string of results together to actually get into the Open on merit. which would be good, obviously. You know, going back to Northern Ireland would be fantastic. So, yeah, I'd expect him to be there.
From 257 in the world to inside the top 150. Also this week, a little bit of golfing history as two couples, including the first husband and wife to compete against each other in a professional golf tournament, will be in action at the world first Jordan Mixed Open presented by Isla. Scottish golfer Kylie Henry will take on her fellow ladies European Tour stars, as well as golfers from the over 50 Stayshore Tour and the European Challenge Tour, where her husband Scott is a former winner. When the 54-hole stroke play tournament takes place at the Isla Golf Club in Jordan, this is... Of course, you know a little bit about Pete.
Yeah, I went there last year, first time. It's really good, actually. It's a nice course. It's a really stunning setting. It's right on the border with Israel. It's kind of mountains to one side in Jordan, the mountains of Israel on the other. It's Beautiful. Got the Red Sea to one side. It's a fantastic actual place as well. I'm not sponsored, by the way. Although, if you are listening, there is a patch on my shirt available. But it's a fantastic place. Course was in brilliant nick as well when I played it.
A tournament is fairly conventional. Three rounds of stroke play, 36-hole cuts to the top 60 golfers and ties. The 123-player field is anything but conventional, though, as we've highlighted. Exactly 40 players representing each of the three tours, plus three high-level amateurs, will all chase the same trophy and the distinction of being the first player to win the Jordan Mixed Open presented by Isla. What do you make of this event then, Boxy? Something different again on the European Tour. We see all manner of different events, and this another good thing from Keith Pelly and Co.
I think the answer to your question is yes, it is nice to see the men and the ladies playing together, and also from the Stayshore as well, a few players over 50, nice to see them all joining together, and it should be a good fun 4 or 5 days.
Let's get the top 10 in the world.
Okay, 10th spot is Xander Schauffele. John Rahm is 9th. 8th is Ricky Fowler. Francesco Molinari is in 7th. 6th, Bryson DeChambeau. Justin Thomas is 5th. 4th is Brooks Koepka. Rory McIlroy is 3rd. Justin Rose is 2nd. And still leading the way is Dustin Johnson.
Now, a bit of break for the players on the European Tour this week. There is no tournament, but just around the corner is the first major of the year. It is the Masters, which starts on April the 11th. Full preview to come next week, but let's have a brief chat about the Masters. Maybe some picks, because we're not on next week. Well, I'm not anyway. You two might be. How much are you looking forward to this Masters? There are so many storylines. Rory's going to be such a focus because what he's done so far this year and the fact that he's going for a Grand Slam. Tiger's back in the mix as well. Is it going to be overhyped? Is it going to be something special? What are your thoughts, Boxy?
Well, my thoughts are, having watched the Masters from a young child growing up, it obviously is the first one of the year in April. I think it's great now. They've got the all four majors, April, May, June and July now. I think
you fell like that? Are you
moving? I quite like that. Have you been to Augusta, by the way? No, have you been, Pete?
I went last year, first time.
It's unreal how hilly it is, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. I'd love to actually go back and see it without crowds. Just like a big park, isn't it?
I've been around there. I can't believe the slope from the 10th downwards, but we ought to answer Dan's question. Anyone catching your eye? Not in particular, no, but one thing I will say, the way it's going, I'm going to go for it. It will be a European win this year at the Masters. And of the four majors, it probably should be the easiest one to win in the respect of there's only 84 players in the field.
And some of those you can probably strike through straight away.
Yeah, you can, yeah.
First-timers sure. And amateurs and one or two of the ceremonials as well, obviously.
I remember Nicklaus said to Montgomery that he actually thought the majors were easier to win than anything else.
He said that to Monty,
To Monty in the studio, yeah. He went, thanks very much.
But that went down well.
No, it didn't. But he said, I did actually. He said, because I used to, he said, I'd play and shuffle the first two rounds. He said, and if I could get my name up on the board on the Saturday, he said, that would scare a few people. He said, and I just kept playing my game and people would back off.
Why is it the same players every single year? I mean, what type of player does it? It seems to me it's that even you get Bernhard, you always get a veteran, don't you? You get Bernhard Langer, Angel Cabrera. You get these former winners from yesteryear still playing now. Why is it the same players?
You just know. I think with more experience there, you know where to play from, you know the quirks of it, you know where to put from on the greens, you know where not to miss. The course changes pretty much every year. They make slight tweaks, but the core of it always remains the same. And it's a good course because it has been lengthened, but it doesn't automatically suit a bomber. There are certain holes, like the 13th, you can just carry over the corner, all the rest of it. But a lot of the holes, they suit a lot of different players, which is why you get this really good mix-up at the top of the leaderboard.
But some players can't play. Martin Kaymer Never plays well. When he was world number one, he couldn't play. Even when he played it four or five times, he couldn't play.
Some courses you just don't like. You know, you just can't get on with it. I mean, I could never get on with East Sussex National. I don't know why, but I could never see breaking 73 around there, ever.
Give us some players to follow then. You reckon European boxing?
European? I'll go for... I think Matt Wallace might do well.
Why?
Well, because I think he's got four wins tucked under his belt now. And the other one I'm going to go for, who's a good player and is just starting to do reasonably well in America, is Matthew Fitzpatrick. Shapes the ball nicely. I know he's sort of a left or right player, but I still fancy he can move it the other way.
Pete?
I'll go for be incredibly boring. I'll go for Rory.
Rory's got to win, hasn't he?
Rory. I'll go for Molinari as well. And I'm going to be bold and say Patrick Reed will not repeat.
No, he's having a bit of a rough time, isn't he?
I think this is the safest bet.
Yeah.
He's not playing well, is he? Has he just gone to David Ledbetter?
I think his wife called up David Ledbetter.
I think his wife calls the shots full stop, doesn't she, Justine?
I think she'd had enough.
What do you think?
Maybe she should get back on the back.
With him, isn't it?
He's a very streaky player. His swing is kind of very handsy, so he's very much based on kind of feel. And obviously last year, you know, when he won, that was a surprise. No one expected him to win. Yeah. So maybe I'm going to take it back. No, actually, yeah, I take it back. Patrick Reed, repeat.
No.
Putting a jacket on himself. No. Throwing it up in the air, spinning
but it around. You get multiple winners are relatively common, not back-to-back, but as we said before, you get the same players. Well, I think Bubba Watson will play well again this year.
Yeah, Bubba, yeah.
You know, he's won it twice before. No, yeah, I think that Rory might not have a better chance. I mean, he's playing so well. The stat that I saw, 7 top tens, he was knocked out at the last 16 stage of the match play, so technically a top 10. 7 top tens. The only player since 1980 to have 7 top tens prior to the 1st of April in a calendar year was Tiger Woods in 2000. I mean, Rory just looks like he's going to win every single week, doesn't he?
Large gin and tonic.
Yes, please. Make it a double, I think. It's like I think came over to the buffet, have some prawns.
That's right. I know. He tell you if he catches you, it's a nightmare. We normally have to dress him up in a special jumper so he can be avoided.
That is your lot for now. Thanks, gang, for ganging up on me. We'll have a full and comprehensive preview of the Masters next week. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via the website, as well as Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. But for now, from Peter Finch.
Bye-bye.
And from Richard Boxall.
Bye.
It is goodbye. We'll speak again soon.